Hey, Drew.
Hello, Don.
Do your Max impression from Space Camp, the movie.
Although, what, the actual thing I do?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
John, your ears are leaking.
What do I say?
Then you say,
I'm crying.
While I'm crying.
John.
Yeah.
My eyes are leaking too.
I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Hourcut,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time. I'm going to do this one with my hood up.
I'd like it. Yeah. You're ready for space travel.
Yeah, ready for extra planetary activity.
EV.
Yeah, extra vehicular
activity?
Activity.
Is that right?
Well, yeah, but I was just saying extra planetary because we're going to leave the planet.
EP.
Ooh, we should leave the planet for this episode.
Oh, yeah. We should definitely record this in orbit. So all right. Our microphones are going to float. We're going to have to hold on to them.
Whoa.
Hey.
I'm weightless. This is
crazy.
This is nuts.
Watch this.
Whoa. Hey, I'm going to drink some of this water.
It's not going to work.
It's in globs. Spherical globs. Wow.
Should we sit down for the show?
Yeah,
we,
just go ahead.
We'll have to buckle ourselves in.
I'm using Velcro.
Okay, that's good.
I can't believe we managed to get into space for this one.
It's pretty hard to do that these days. It's getting harder and harder to get into space.
Boy, tell me about
it. It's getting harder out there for an astronaut.
Yeah, or a cosmonaut.
Or a cosmonaut.
They might have it easier, actually.
Maybe. Yeah, they seem to. They seem
to
be getting up
Chinese
there.
Do the Chinese have a knot? Are they a something knot?
They are, yeah, like a Chino knot.
What about Canadians?
I don't think they have a national program.
Canuck-tronaut. Sure they do.
Do they?
Sure they do.
A space program.
Man, they're up in the ISS.
Well, they might send people up there, missionaries.
Randoms.
Science missionaries.
Excuse me, sir. Yes. You're up.
Hey.
It's like jury duty for them. Right? You get asked three times. And you don't have to go.
Occasionally you can decline. You can be like, "No, I've got a birthday party on Sunday. I can't go up there.
I don't like astronauts." And then they'll
Right.
Wave you, you know.
There's a panel period where they interview you. Yeah.
First they say, have you seen or heard any news about space? And if you have, you're
automatically disqualified.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely Canadian astronauts.
Yeah, but I don't know that they have like a program, you know, like they don't put rockets or spaceships into orbit.
Yeah, maybe not. Well, but they would be Canuckstronauts or...
Yeah.
Is there another... Well,
another
so
Canadian
astro... I guess it's not necessarily because it's... Astro just means, like, out in space, right?
I don't actually know, what the origin
cosmos,
of that word
cosmos.
Is.
Cosmos.
Right?
So...
But it sounds like comrade.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Just happened to work out
like
for them.
Communist. You know, like Argonaut is from
Jason
that.
And the Argonauts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they don't go into space.
Are Argonauts the skeletons?
Argo?
Are they the skeletons that
fight? Thought they were his crew, Jason's crew.
Oh, okay.
Isn't like Argo or something was a country?
Maybe.
Or a
seafaring vessel?
A nation state? Oh, it might have been the vessel.
An island?
You're right. It may have been the vessel.
The Argo.
Okay. The Argonaut.
So technically, these would be like capsule knots or shuttle knots.
Ooh.
Because astro, they're not traveling on astros.
Mm-mm.
They're traveling on
rocket knot.
Yeah, rocket knot.
I like capsule knot.
Capsule knot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we sorted that out.
Good work. Only took a couple of decades.
What do you think 40, about? 50. What do you mean? It took us a few minutes.
No, I know, but I mean.
Oh, the others.
Yeah, everybody else.
The others.
They're coming around. There's us, and then there's the others.
And then there's the others. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What do you think about space?
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Worship it. Kinda. Yeah. Seriously do. Mm-hmm. I'm frustrated from time to time with how little regard we collectively have for space.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm sort of bummed out at the state of our current space exploration.
Programs.
Yeah.
But yeah, to a degree, I'd agree with you. There's been some pretty rad things happening.
Sure.
But it's here's the problem. You have to seek them out.
That's the thing. It's not it is not nationally embraced, you know? It's not the kind of thing where like you don't see astronauts on the cover of People magazine.
Yeah.
Unless like their wife got shot or something.
Yeah. Or they themselves died.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's the kind of thing where like, oh, remember when this astronaut did this awesome thing? Wasn't that great? There was a time when we did awesome things in space.
We still do.
Now, here's what's going on today.
Yeah.
And yeah. So I'm kind of bummed out about that.
How is it people got bored with space?
I don't know. I don't understand that. Because kids are still interested in space.
Yeah.
Today, you know.
I don't know. I am like you. I love space. And I love all the things in space.
Mm-hmm.
That's everything.
It is a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it encompasses in a space. Lot. We're in space right
Technically,
now.
Technically, we are, yeah.
We're on a planet in space.
We're on a spaceship Earth.
I sort of like, it kind of blows my mind, space, and what's out there, and the stuff that I read about it, or see. I really wish that at some point in my lifetime, I will be able to go into space.
Yeah.
But it's scary, too.
Sure.
But I hope that by the time, you know, within my lifetime, they figure out commercial flights. Like
how to get people
space.
Up there.
Yeah, just to float around for a bit.
Yeah. You don't have to stay up there.
I would pay if I had the money, I would pay a lot of money just to go up and, like, float.
I genuinely believed growing up that by the time I was my current age, we would be doing that.
Yeah.
Like maybe that was the time period that I grew up in. Cause I feel like we sort of grew up in a space addled culture. Like we were very, there was a lot of space when we were growing up.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people thinking about space.
It's a lot of love for space. And there was a lot of, there was still sort of this hope. Or this idea that we would continue to innovate and
keep pushing.
Yeah, space
keep
travel.
Doing new things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep going new places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I guess arguably we have. I mean, that whole space station thing was a long time in the making.
Yeah. But it's there.
It is there now. They finally got it up there and it's working. People use it, even if we're not using it.
You've got the rovers. The Mars rovers.
Yeah.
I mean, we put three of them at least on Mars.
Yeah. And now, man, that the one that's up there
the
now,
Curiosity,
Curiosity, that is awesome.
It's the size of a Jeep.
Yeah, it's a biggie.
It's incredible in various ways. Like, first of all, the size of it, that they managed to get it safely on Mars is amazing. The pictures it's sending back, you know, the my name is on it.
Your name is
my
on
my name is
Curiosity.
On it.
Nice.
Did I tell you this?
No.
I can't find my certificate. Okay, back when they were started talking about Curiosity, right? And they had built it and everything, and they were like, we're going to send this thing to Mars. They had this thing where you could sign up and have your name, I think, like etched onto like a microchip.
Oh.
And then that would be put on the rover.
Like physically etched onto the chip.
I think it may.
Like they took it out of a computer and they had like a little needle and they just drew.
Yeah. It's either that or it's digitally on there.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember which. All I know.
You don't
know,
have your certificate. It would probably
know,
tell you.
Damn it.
Probably have it on the certificate.
I had it hanging over my computer for the longest time.
Nice.
Because this was like 3 or 4 years ago that they did this.
Yeah, it was a long-running program. They were building up to it.
And so my name is on that rover right now, and it's on Mars. My name is on Mars. I mean, that's important. That's cool, though.
It's cool.
I do that stuff. I will do anything. If it's space-related, I want to be involved.
You're on board.
Yeah.
Yeah. Space.
I could talk about other things I've done.
What else have you done related to space?
Well, recently I became a member of the Planetary Society.
What's that?
It's a space club.
There's a space club?
Yeah, man. I could show you my membership
You've
card.
You've got a card?
Yeah. Hang on.
What?
You thought I was speaking nonsense, but it's true. And here, I'll take a picture and we can... Well, I've put it, a photo of it on Facebook before, but there it is. I'm a member. Put that, like, make a noise with it next to the microphone so people know.
Whoosh.
No, dude. That's a BMX bike.
Oh, yeah. You mean like this?
Yeah. Do a little...
I'm looking
like,
at
floppers.
Card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, against your fingers, like, sort of do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, buddy, you're going to have to renew this in October of this year.
Yeah, sure.
Planetary.org, member of the Planetary Society.
So what they do is they send you a newsletter. It's headed by Bill Nye.
Oh.
Who you would, you know.
The rapper.
Mm-hmm. Neil deGrasse Tyson is involved. Those are sort of the big names, you know, that I think most people recognize. And there are, of course, you know, illustrious group of scientists and astronomers and what have you. And what they do is that they, not only do they tell you about awesome space news, mm-hmm. but they also, they fundraise for different programs that are involved in research of space. So, like, recently there was this program where the scientists needed to buy telescope time at one of these major telescopes, right, to study something in space.
Okay.
And it was a sort of the opportunity would only be viable for this one, like, these few months because of the way, you know, the Earth spins and
right.
when we'll see what
you
need to see.
You gotta grab it while you can.
And so they did like a fundraising, like, send money and so we can get the time for this person, you know.
Okay.
And so, you know, I've supported various causes like that through Planetary. And of course, they themselves, your membership is a donation.
Nice.
And so that goes towards various space-funded, programs for space. Yeah.
Do they have, like, a pledge drive like NPR does every couple of months?
Yeah,
maybe they should.
They do. You know? I mean, I get letters all the time, like,
Neil
please
deGrasse
give
Tyson
us more
totally,
money.
Yeah, I could see Neil deGrasse Tyson doing, like, a Jerry Lewis kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Telethon.
Yeah.
But he'll have to do it from space. Like, mm-hmm. he can do it on the moon.
It should be from space.
Yeah.
All things should.
Should.
be from space.
All things come from space. There was a thing you mentioned earlier. You were talking about how it's incredible that they managed to get the rover, the Curiosity rover, this gigantic piece of machinery. They got it safely to the moon.
Yeah.
Or not to the moon, to Mars.
Yeah.
And it works.
It works.
It got up there and
yeah.
they landed it, remote control
it's
landed
driving
that
around.
Thing on the surface of Mars, and now they're continuing to drive it around.
It's just up there.
That's incredible. And that reminded me of, I think we had this discussion, but how it's remarkable that throughout the history of manned space exploration, mm-hmm. which no one had any experience with until, yeah. you know, they really, basically until they started it, you
yeah.
know, like they're just like, we're going to put people in orbit now.
Yeah.
And they did it and it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's they've never like stranded anybody up there. They've
right.
never lost anybody. I mean, they've come close here and there, but
in space.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No one has been lost in space.
Which is
despite
crazy.
That show.
Yeah.
Don't believe that
it's
show. It's never happened.
It's a great big lie.
Yeah.
Dr. Smith.
Well, there's one there although there's a conspiracy or a what's a better word for it? It's not really a conspiracy. There's rumor has it that some cosmonauts got lost.
Oh, and they just never acknowledged it publicly?
And there's apparently like audio recordings of them.
Oh.
And yeah, I don't know if it's
But they
true.
Speak Russian, so nobody can understand
No
them.
One knows, yeah. And Russia will not tell anyone what it says.
Huh.
No, but yeah, it was like some cosmonauts that apparently were lost either out in space, maybe even... I think there's some speculation that it was a moon mission and that they're on the moon. I mean, they're dead
now. Oh, like they're still up there.
Yeah, but they're dead. But who knows, right?
Oh, you
there's,
know.
There's, I
oh,
don't,
you know.
I don't.
I mean, there have speculation has placed a lot of things on the moon that could actually be there.
Yeah, yeah. Transformers.
The Transformers could be there. Amazon women could be there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Teenagers.
Yep. Yeah.
A monolith. There's a lot of things that could be on the moon. And we know for a fact that there's dirt and dust and rocks.
Yeah, we know there's moon rocks and moon dust.
Right.
We know there's the American flag.
Yeah. A lot of space debris that we left there. A couple of drive-in things. I think they played golf. Did they ever pick up the balls?
Probably not.
So those are still up there.
I read...
It's just a great big gray driving range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read recently, and I can't remember where, and I don't mean to stir the pot, but I read recently that I guess China is amping up their space program right now, and they're planning on going to the moon.
Good for them.
And people are like, they're going to go up there just to take down the American flag.
Oh.
And put up the Chinese flag, so it'll be like, we never went there.
We'd never know, though.
Don't they have like a, can't they see it with like a telescope or something?
They can see the landing site, probably. I don't know if they can see the flag. Can they
I feel
see
like
the
they should be able to do that.
Can they do that with Google Maps?
Yeah.
Google Maps. You go in satellite view and see the...
Well, you can go to
just,
the moon.
Just turn that thing around. Quit pointing at the Earth and point it at the moon for
you,
a little
They
while.
Do have a moon
do they?
Thing on Google Maps.
Oh. Okay.
Maps.google.com/moon, I think. Oh. And they also... you know, if you go to that, go to the moon... This is for our listeners.
Go to the moon.
Go to the Google Maps moon site and just keep zooming in and see what happens because it's fun.
Nice.
And then I think with Google Earth, they did a thing where you can look at the moon and they have all the Apollo landing sites.
Oh, cool.
Highlighted.
Very cool. All six of them? There were six Apollo
landings,
see. I think?
Yeah, Apollo 11 to 17, right?
Right. Minus 13.
Right. Yeah, right.
So there were five.
I feel like you're right, though. I felt like
11,
there were 12, six.
14, 15, 16, 17. That would be six.
Six, yeah, there's six.
Okay, six.
You reminded me of something when you talked about... Like you had said, we kind of went off on a tangent. They decided in the 50s? Like, we're going to... Let's go in orbit.
Yeah, right? I mean that's basically when it was actively
pursued.
Yeah,
and then in the '60s, well, when did the Mercury projects?
Didn't actually start until the '60s,
right?
You know, but so I feel like in the '50s it
did
was
Mercury
all about
happen in the '60s.
Yeah, it all happened. I mean, it's incredible that they did all of that in one decade.
It's mind blowing.
So yeah, I think starting 1955, 1956 or something, NASA gets formed, right? And they're playing around with rockets, and Wernher von Braun, now that he's not shooting missiles at Japan, he can work on space exploration. And so he builds these rockets, and they sort of work, and they sort of really don't. Mm-hmm. And nobody's really paying attention to it until Kennedy says,
"Yeah,
we choose to go to the moon
in this decade
and do the other things.
Not because they are easy, but because they are hard."
Yeah, and then suddenly, like, somebody calls NASA, and they're like, "Hey, that thing he's talking about—that's you guys. That's you guys. You got to do that."
And
they're
like, "Okay, did you guys
hire somebody?"
There, ring, ring, ring.
Hello,
I need to speak to the head of NASA, please.
Yeah, this is Jim.
Jim, it's the White House.
Oh, hey,
did you watch the president's speech today?
No.
All right.
Any good?
Watch it.
Oh, all right.
Well, I've sent over a recording. We don't have the technology yet, but I sent one. I sent you an audio tape.
Oh, all right.
Did you get that?
Yep, right here.
All right, listen to that for a second. Did you listen?
Yeah, what's he talking about?
We need to send people to the moon.
Oh.
That's not a joke. We're really going to do that. You guys are in charge.
Wait, who?
I mean, you're not in charge, but, like, you guys got
to
make it happen.
I'm going to the moon?
Hey, guys! I'm going to the moon! President sent me to the moon!
Can I speak to Gus Grissom, please?
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
It's incredible. In the 60s, they did the Mercury missions, the Gemini, which they would say Gemini.
Gemini.
I was in them. It's so Cricket. Weird. Missions and the Apollo missions.
Yeah.
And like
a ton of them. It wasn't like just here's Mercury 1, Gemini 2, Apollo 9.
It was ridiculous.
They did. It seems like they were shooting people on rockets every other month.
And what's really cool, you know, before I like looked into all this stuff, you just sort of assume like, okay, well, they just, you know, went up into space and did whatever.
Right.
But when you like start to research it, every single mission was basically one step closer to getting to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Like they planned everything out. It was like, this mission will figure out how to get out of the space module.
Capsule.
Yeah, the capsule. And this one will figure out how to dock the capsule with the lunar module.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like baby steps the whole way through. And the whole time they're just gathering data and information on how to do what they're doing. They're doing it as they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're like writing the plan as they go along. Yeah.
And it worked. Yeah, it blows my mind. I watched, I forget who did it. Maybe it was Discovery did a documentary, a multi-part documentary on the Apollo missions.
Mm-hmm.
And they, they got to Apollo 11 and they showed the footage all the way through of them landing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I got chills just watching that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I can't imagine, like, can you imagine being in the lunar module, like being Buzz Aldrin
I'm getting chills.
Or
Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
The
other guy.
That one.
And like you're sitting, the thing's landing on the moon.
Yeah.
You're on the moon. That's insane.
That is.
And they did. And like, what I think might would be crazier to me if I was one of them or any of those guys would be like, you get back to Earth and you'd think, I was on the moon. Like,
yeah. How does anything ever stack up to that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, plus you just sit there like 12 hours ago, I was standing on the moon.
Yeah. Do you think they had jet lag?
Do you think
they had jet lag coming back from the moon?
Man, I don't know. Well, it does all sorts of weird things to you, doesn't it, space?
Yeah. Yeah.
They were really concerned about space illnesses.
Yeah.
They had to sit in that quarantine area for a bit.
Yeah, they were contained for a while. Well, and then the sort of broader problem is like what physically happens to you just because of the pressure and everything.
And
like your bone density. Like, is there something like if you're out in space too long, your bones actually begin to deteriorate?
Your muscles atrophy if you don't keep active. Yeah, because you're not there's no resistance.
Mm.
There's mm-hmm. no resistance at all.
There's nothing holding you down.
Like,
it takes effort, like right now, to raise your arm up.
To sit upright.
Like, yeah, yeah. But up there, there's nothing.
Nothing.
You just
nothing's pulling on you.
Yeah.
That's why they have all that exercise gear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and we were, Ashley and I were talking about this recently, where she was like, does it do anything to your circulatory system? Because, you know, like normally...
Right, you've got fluids in you.
Yeah, and they got to fight gravity too. Like, you have, what, two types of, like, veins, and mm-hmm. one is low pressure and one's high pressure, I think. And the high pressure ones, like, shoot your blood up rocket speed to your heart because right. it's going, like, from your feet.
Yeah.
You know, it has to fight gravity.
It's got
to
go a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one's low pressure because it's using gravity to get down wherever it needs to go.
Just kind of coast. Yeah.
But you think about, like, you're in space. Well, how does all that work?
Does it?
And then you had to think about
that. Is your heart like, whoa?
That's the other crazy thing is, like we're asking these questions and thinking about it, and it's, like, all fine and good. We'll never go into space. But, like, they're like, we're going into space.
Yeah. Every little thing that can happen.
Is our head going to blow up? They didn't know.
There's probably general concern about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy and awesome.
It is. And it's the kind of thing that you think, like, if we can do this, why can't we do other things that seem so much simpler and less complex?
I know.
And I realized, like, you know,
it was a perfect storm of...
Right.
Well, part of it was the competition with the Russians, right?
Yeah.
So the nation was like, yeah, let's do it, man.
Yeah.
Because we don't like communists, and if they get there first, the world's over. And
it's sort of, in a way, this is a bad analogy, but it is a lot like the atomic bomb. Like,
yeah.
We would not have had the impetus to really develop that something of that magnitude to invest as much time and energy. Nuclear energy into something like that.
Yeah.
You know, if there wasn't a perceived dire need for
it. Right, exactly.
And I think that's why, I guess, we haven't seen something on that scale happen since then.
Yeah.
In such a short amount of time, certainly.
Yeah.
So there's your argument for a global... global conflict. It'll help everybody get to space.
Yeah. Yeah, if we could figure out a way to make it seem like if we don't go to space more often, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
As a nation.
Yeah, or just make everybody hate each other. Like, every other country thinks that it hates the other country.
Yeah, we've been working together all this time. It's not getting us anywhere.
No. It's certainly not getting us into space. So right now, everybody, if we all work together, everybody out there, go find a country and tell them that America hates you.
Yeah.
And
but no, tell them America thinks you can't get to space.
Yeah. That's a good one.
We bet you can't put a person on Mars.
Yeah. Bet you can't get anybody in space.
And if you think you can, talk about it.
Yeah. Do it. Put up or show up.
Yeah.
Pictures or didn't happen.
Yeah. the other thing I did, and they did this a few years ago as one of the anniversaries for the moon landings, is they had this thing where they did the Apollo 11 mission in real time. So there's this website.
Oh yeah.
And they had so they had that. They also had Twitter feeds of the lunar module, or the command module, had their own Twitter feeds sending information out about what was going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the coolest thing was they had an audio track of actual transmissions back and forth during that mission.
So you can actually listen to the exchanges between, like, mission control and...
So I sat at my desk at work with this thing on in my headphones, which most of the time it's just...
Sure.
But every once in a while, it's... I loved it!
We should see if we can find some of that audio.
It was so cool. And I got a certificate from that, too.
Oh, you get DD. Do you know where that one is?
No. I lost all my certificates.
That is pretty awesome. That is, I think, Because it's almost like you're recreating the experience that people would have had. You know, because everybody had to go to work that day, I'm sure, the day that, you know, people were landing on the moon.
Well, it happened at night, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it did.
Well, in various
They were traveling over the course of the day. You know, just imagine like it's, you know, Sunday or whatever. And you wake up and you're like, I'm going to go to brunch. And meanwhile, somebody is flying toward the moon at like a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're eating bacon.
Yeah, what are you doing? Eating bacon? Do something.
Everybody lives on a street, in a city or a village or a town for what it's worth. And they're all inside a country which is part of a continent that sits upon a planet known as Earth. And the Earth is a ball full of oceans and some mountains which is out there spinning silently in space. And living on that Earth are the plants and the animals and also the entire human race. It's a great big universe, and we're all really puny. We're just tiny little specks about the size of Mickey Rooney. It's big and black and inky, and we are small and dinky. It's a big universe, and we're not.
You'd mentioned, sort of when we were growing up, they have the shuttle programs going on. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was, as a kid, I think, you know, like you, I thought, well, it's only a matter of time, right? Before.
Yeah.
Like, anyone can go.
I would get these books out of the library, and they would all depict, you know, space colonies. And they would, you know, they had the science figured out. You know, they're like, this thing will just spin, and it'll create gravity. Yeah. And people can just walk along the interior surface of this space colony. Yeah. And
easy.
Yeah, we got this figured out. All we need is like a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And some glass and
the
biosphere or whatever.
Right.
You just put the biosphere in space and you're good. Easy. You're good to go. That was always a thing, that whole biosphere project. Yeah. I was like, I just assumed that was like
just for space.
Right. It was like, we're going to test this out.
Yeah.
Next step, it's going to be in space. They're going to put it on a rocket and then put it into space.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Never happened though. Never happened. Dumb. I don't know where the breakdown was.
They need to start building things in space. I mean, I know they built the space station in space.
Yeah. Let's they took the pieces up there and then...
Yeah, do more. Build a cool spaceship up there.
A hotel. An amusement park.
They talk about that elevator, don't they?
The elevator.
The space elevator. You heard about that?
No.
There's a you know, when people talk about like where's the space program going, mm-hmm. and when does space travel become a commercial endeavor where anyone can go up, one of the ways they talk about that is the space elevator, which is literally an elevator that goes goes up.
All the way into orbit?
Yeah, and it uses the question is, okay, what's the cable made out of, you know? And so they've worked on various like tethers and you know, compounds that would be resilient. And I assume there would be some kind of thing up in space that it's attached to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could just ride this elevator up into space. Cause what it's how many miles is it into to get
it's
into
like two
space,
miles,
right?
Isn't it? Two miles
that's not
straight
that
up.
Far.
It's really not.
It's not that far.
Yeah. You stack like the Sears Tower on top of itself a couple of times.
Yeah.
Four or five or something. And then, oh man, just think like what the line would be like to get in there.
The line would be longer than the ride up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how short of a ride it would be. It's only a couple miles.
Oh, that's true.
Why haven't we done this?
Where is this elevator supposed to get built?
Everywhere. I don't know.
They're just going to be all over the place.
But that's one I've heard about. And then Virgin Atlantic, you know, I don't know if they still are, but they had a thing going for a while. They were working on commercial space flights. Virgin Galactic, they may have called it or something like that.
I heard that they were attempting that, but I hadn't heard if it was actually
nothing
happening.
Nothing has come through.
Okay.
But it's something that, you know, they've looked into or trying. Then there's the SpaceX program where people are, they get a cash prize or whatever for, What is the contest?
Basically, this is sort of designing your own spacecraft, yeah,
something
right?
like that. Anyway, we keep getting off on these tangents.
Yeah,
it's hard because I get really excited about space. But the shuttle program, the thing that was so, I think, what's the word? Approachable, mm-hmm. was that thing just looked like an airplane. You know, the shuttle, it looked so, you know, when you look at like the Saturn rockets, or you look at the command modules from the Apollo missions or whatever, they look like spaceships or, you know, it's sort
of like...
They
came out of their era.
Yeah.
Like they were definitely...
And you sort of think, well, it obviously takes, like, you need to be an astronaut to get in that thing.
Yeah.
But with the shuttle...
Yeah, there are all those buttons and things.
Yeah. With that shuttle, it's like, oh, well, I could sit in there, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why it felt so close.
You're like,
so
yeah, we're right around the corner from, like, taking a weekend trip to Mars.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, Space Camp comes out.
Oh,
the movie.
Right.
Which, have we talked about Space Camp?
I feel like we did.
I feel like we've not only talked about the movie, but we've also talked about your experiences in Space Camp.
Yeah.
Like, you actually went to Space Camp.
What did we, when did we talk about
that? We definitely talked about it because I was aghast.
You were upset about it.
Yeah.
When did we talk about that?
But that was also, that movie was like, we can do it.
Yeah, they put those kids into space.
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you my experience of watching Space Camp while at Space Camp, which was great. Like, I guess I got there early. I went to Space Camp when I was like 10, maybe, or 12. And I got there a day early before the thing started. And so they had to fill up time. Like, the actual program didn't start until the next day. So one of the things that they did to fill up time was they got all of the kids who were there early into a room, and they watched Space Camp, the movie. And the counselors would sit there and heckle it. Like, as the movie's going on, they would sit there and be like, nope, that doesn't happen.
Oh, wow.
Not going to do that. Like, you know, basically crushing your dreams. If you had wanted to go to Space Camp because of Space Camp, the movie, they were shooting down.
I was going
to
say, like, wishes. I would imagine watching that would be a bad idea because it'd be like, oh, I can't wait for Space Camp. And then you wouldn't do half the things that they did.
I can't wait till I sit on the shuttle. Yeah. They were like very adamant about that. They're like, you're not actually sitting on a real shuttle. That thing cost $14 billion. We're not putting you guys in there.
Especially you. And they pointed at you.
Yeah, yeah. You're a little overeager.
What? Yeah,
you'll
exactly.
Watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, watch it. Watch it, kid. What's your name?
John Dedeke.
Yeah, I'm putting your name on a list.
You're not doing anything this week, kid.
Is it the shuttle list?
No. So it doesn't get to sit on the shuttle list.
But don't worry, everybody else is on there too.
On the list. But you're at the top.
Right.
If No.
I'm excited about that.
No, kid.
Hey, Mom, I'm on the top of the list.
Get off the phone. Listen, what that means is, should the opportunity arise where we actually let kids on the shuttle, you're at the bottom
you're
of that.
Not allowed.
Like, there will be a...
thought I was on the top.
You're at the top of the can't get on the shuttle list, which means you're at the bottom of the can get on the shuttle list.
Is this because there's zero gravity in space?
Yeah.
Awesome. Right. I can't wait to be in zero gravity. Space Camp is awesome.
You're not getting in a pool. As we don't have that pool. That space pool.
That space pool doesn't exist.
Why?
That's a myth.
What?
We made that up.
What do you have?
Everything you've ever seen in the movies about space is wrong.
What do you got?
We got a bathtub.
A bathtub and a dorm. That's what we got.
Is that robot here?
Don't know. Don't put your Twinkies in the ceiling because the mice will eat them. They did. I do remember The coolest part of that, the part that sticks with me the most, like my memory of the space camp experience, was going around to those sites from the program, like not the space camp program, but the real NASA program, like going to see test platforms where they would like just fire rockets.
Oh, cool.
So it's basically just like a concrete pad and this like metal harness, and they would hook an engine up to it and then just blow.
Yes.
Just ignite the engine and have it run for a little while. So the pad's all scorched and everything. And that stuff's just still sitting there. It's just all out there. I saw a full-scale mock-up of the space station.
Nice.
Like in a big hangar. We didn't get to like crawl through it or anything like
that. Where was all this?
Well, this was in Florida near Kennedy Space Center. There are two space camps. Yeah. There's the one in Kennedy and there's one in Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay.
But the best one, I think, was the one at Kennedy Space Center because you got to see all that. I got to see that building where they... The assembly building, the vehicle assembly building, and
can we go inside?
No.
Is there a list for that?
Yeah.
It's written in invisible ink.
I like Vinnie Barbarino is like my camp counselor. He finally graduated from that school, and now he's teaching kids at space camp.
No.
Not going to do that.
I went to the Houston Space Center.
Oh, yeah. That's where Mission Control is, right?
Man, yeah, and it's cool. It's really cool. They, you know, there's a little tram tour, and they take you...
There's a tram tour?
Yeah, man. They take you
all
through...
I don't know if you know this, but I love tram tours.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And this is a good one.
Oh.
They take you all through the complex, the Space Center, and they have like a bunch of the retired Saturn rockets. Maybe not a bunch, but at least one or two. But they have this big like hangar. You walk in there, it's just laying on its side, and it's huge. It's so big. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. You stand there, you look at the thrusters, like the engines, and it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, those things, they're like the size of a house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they also have...
Somebody made those things. Like somebody put those screws into place and
yeah, someone them made those.
Tightened them. And yeah.
You go, you see Mission Control, and then you also, they show you... There's like various mission control rooms. There's like the main one that they use currently. And then there's a few others that are used specifically for launches or for other things that are smaller for smaller teams. Mm-hmm. And so they show you that. You walk through this one hangar that has various training apparatus and different sort of... mock-ups of ships and stuff, and it was so awesome. It was very cool. Oh, and then they have like a whole visitor center area where they have different exhibits and stuff, and this is right when I went, it was right at the end of the shuttle program. The shuttle program was ending in the next month or so, and we went and we saw this presentation about the shuttle program, and before they let you into this theater, they show you just sort of a montage of shuttle launches with inspirational music, and I like started choking up, like tearing up, and I'm like sitting there thinking, why haven't I gone to a shuttle launch?
Oh yeah,
like it's over, like I can't, I'm gonna like the last one was the next month.
So you missed it.
So there was no way.
Well, you could have gotten in the car and driven over there.
Should have
there.
Hadn't. Yeah. Had, shouldn't I have? But yeah, I still like, well, if I watch something like that, even on YouTube or something, I get like emotional.
I do too.
I don't know why.
Any of those, any launch, anything like that. Even if there's nobody on it, even if it's just an unmanned rocket, I think that's incredible to watch. But yeah, especially watching the shuttle, and then that was something that we grew up with too. You know, seeing that, and the whole process. Yeah. I remember being fascinated by the way, like the boosters, the solid rocket boosters would detach, and then the fuel tank would detach, and then the thing just coasts up there.
You know,
the way it would like come back in and land on a runway.
Yeah,
it's what just the heck. comes in, re-enters,
yeah, don't worry.
Bunch of flames and stuff, yeah. And then I'm just gonna land on this runway.
Yeah.
One of the movies that I really love is Apollo 13, mm-hmm. which is a movie I can watch at any time. You know yeah. what I mean?
Yeah.
If it comes on, I can sit there and watch it. But they do.
I will watch it.
I love the shuttle launch sequence in that movie
mm-hmm.
and how they show that all the pieces detaching and like the various, you know, like thrusts and all the, it's just like incredible. I love that movie.
That's
that
a great movie. So that's, cool. That is an excellent space movie. There, yeah. What are some other good like space movies? Well, 2001, I think. Have you ever seen 2001?
I can never get through 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Drew.
I can't even get to the space bits.
Drew. There's some great space stuff.
I know.
There.
I'm sorry.
It looks like they took the camera into space. No, it looks that good.
But it's kind of fake space.
Well, it's movie space.
It's not real like Space Camp.
But it looks like they... Yeah. Like Space Camp, the movie.
Yeah.
It looks like they... It looks very convincing. Extremely convincing, especially given that it was one of the first movies, major movies.
That's where the guy runs on the
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, the circular treadmill. But
well, hang on. Before we get away from Apollo 13, which I was talking about... when they filmed that, they went into that airplane that does the parabolas. That
oh, flies. The comet, the vomit comet.
Vomit comet. Yeah. So they filmed them floating for real.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
It was probably not awesome for them.
Yeah, but still.
They were probably puking a lot.
They had a camera crew in that thing.
That's awesome.
And a set. And that apparently, you know, they could only shoot for like 15 seconds at a time because... Right. Then, you know, then
they got to go back up and yeah. they drop down again.
Yeah. Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
that's the only point I wanted to make about
Ed that. Harris was awesome in that as the
yes.
mission control director.
Yes.
He was maybe my favorite part of that movie.
He's great. He yeah. sort of comes in halfway through it, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. He's not
he's
in the
like,
beginning.
What's
of
up, guys? I got this vest.
God, he is maybe to me the image of the American space program.
Yeah.
Like a grizzled
yeah.
old Air Force dude, short close crop hair and like a white collared short sleeve shirt.
Didn't he play John Glenn in The Right Stuff?
Did he? You're right, he did play
nice!
John Glenn.
Ed Harris, come on.
Man. What a career.
I feel like he should be in every space movie.
Obviously.
That's awesome.
God, I'd forgotten how many people were in that movie.
I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through.
I don't think I have either.
Well, we're going to watch it.
We should definitely watch it. Yeah. So, yeah, the Sam Shepard is Chuck Yeager. Scott yes. Glenn is Alan Shepard. Ed Harris played John Glenn.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Yeah, yeah.
Sam
Scott
Shepard.
Glenn, Alan Shepard, what? Sam Shepard, Chuck Yeager.
What are they doing?
Yep. Dennis Quaid played Gordon Cooper. Fred
nice.
Ward was Gus Grissom.
Fred Ward,
Fred
yes.
Fred Ward is in it. Yep.
Wait, I feel like he was in Apollo 13.
Lance Henriksen played Wally Schirra.
Was Fred Ward in Apollo 13?
No. Was he?
I feel like he's played other space guys.
No.
He was
in Naked Gun 33 and a third.
It's sad, but I picture him. When I think of Gus Grissom, I do picture Fred Ward.
Yeah.
Um. Yeah, the right stuff I haven't seen all the way through. I've only seen like the first half or so.
It's a long movie. Long book.
It's a great... What I saw was awesome. I think I ended up watching it in some high school class or something.
Hmm.
The other thing that reminds me of is the series, the HBO series, Apollo.
Is it
called Apollo?
No, From the Earth to the Moon.
Which is awesome.
I've never seen that either.
You know, it's this thing where, so Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg, when they do a movie together, they end up then doing a mini series about it.
Right afterwards.
Yeah. So they did Apollo 13, and then they did From the Earth to the Moon, and then later they did Saving Private Ryan, and then they did Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
You gotta hope, if they do a movie together, you just hope that it's something you're really interested in.
Yeah, because they're gonna be doing it for a while.
They're gonna be, and they're gonna do a really interesting mini series follow up.
Yeah,
but yeah, the that From the Earth to the Moon is a really great mini series, especially because they were, I have to imagine they were kind of flummoxed, because each episode I think focuses on a different Apollo mission.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to Apollo 13, and I'm like, well, the movie. They just did the movie. What are they going to do for this? And I think it's basically like, you know, because most of Apollo 13 you see from perspective of the guys on the ship,
mm-hmm.
a lot of it anyway. And this they did in the show, I think they did a lot of it from outside perspectives. So like the media and... you know, more inside of NASA.
What a Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's cool.
That Dave Foley plays a role. He plays something Bean. Al Bean? He's one of the. He's on Apollo 12, I think.
Hmm.
And maybe Alan Bean. I might be getting that wrong.
Huh.
But his episode's really good.
So this is not a documentary. This is
fiction. It's fiction.
Wow, yeah, I did not know that.
I mean, fiction based on
sure, inspired by true events.
Yeah, and then Discovery has the documentary.
Huh.
I think it's Discovery did that. But yeah, From the Earth to the Moon is really great.
Hmm.
It's like 13 parts or something like that, maybe more.
Wow.
I will check that. What are some other space flicks? Armageddon.
Technically, I guess that qualifies.
Yeah. I mean, even that. I was watching that. I watched that movie, and they have a launch sequence, and
you were tearing up.
Yes,
you were saluting.
I can't help it. Yeah, I was saluted. I can't help it. I'm so inspired.
This one is probably not. I'm guessing this is not on your list of esteemed space movies, and it's only marginally a space movie. But this actually is one of the reasons that I got into space in the first place was the movie Explorers.
Oh,
which is about the three kids who get like telepathic messages from aliens.
I haven't seen that since the 80s.
I watched the hell out of that movie.
Yeah.
So BMX Bandits was a movie that I caught on cable. And just would continue to see pieces of on cable. Explorers was the same way. I came into it like halfway through, and I was like, these kids are flying into space.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that movie.
Moon. Have you seen
Moon? Moon is great.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Space movie.
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's great to watch in anything, but mm-hmm. in this, he's really, really great.
It felt very... almost like it could have taken place in the same universe as like Alien, Blade Runner. Didn't it feel that way?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was as if,
Or 2001. Like it was sort of that. There's the Michael Bay space, and then there's like the Stanley Kubrick space that's a little.
Everything's made of white plastic or foam.
Yeah.
And weirdly, is like there's these weird bevel and emboss. Stylistic treatments to architecture and right.
Yeah.
And
there's usually like a single computer voice.
Yeah. That seems somewhat just scary
Yeah.
Moon's great.
Have you seen Sunshine?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
That's a good one. I mean, so this starts to go into the realm of, you know, when you talk about space movies, it invariably, you know, you mix it up with sci-fi, right?
Sure.
And Sunshine, I thought, was one of the better sci-fi films I've come out in a long time. Hmm. You know, because a lot of sci-fi now is really technically just an action movie, you know? And Sunshine...
In space or something.
Yeah.
Like that, yeah.
Both Sunshine and Moon are, to me, feel very old-school sci-fi mm-hmm. in that it's more about, like, some sort of philosophical question or some sort of meta-observation. That is happening in space, you know, or you know, space-like environment. I think it's funny that it's Sunshine and Moon. I just realized
that. Oh, yeah. Huh. We only allow one word in our in our space movie titles now. What was that one? There was that rash of Mars movies that came out like maybe 10 years ago. One of them had Val Kilmer where he flips off the planet.
Oh.
Mission to Mars.
Yeah.
It was like Mission to Mars and Red Planet. Those are the two of them.
Yeah. Which one had
I have no idea which one was
which.
Did
you see them both?
I think I did.
Which one had it where they were out in space and then like their spacesuits malfunctioned and they froze in space?
I think that was Mission to Mars.
And that's, is that the one where Val Kilmer flips someone off?
Yes. Yeah. Where he like flips off the planet.
Does he flip off
Earth? Or maybe he flips off the capsule or the shuttle or
doesn't
whatever.
Doesn't, like, they get to Mars and, like, something opens up? Like, it turns out there's something in there.
Maybe.
Let's talk about Mars.
Okay.
There
pretty
was
great
that,
planet.
There was that face. Everyone thought there was a face on Mars.
That thing used to creep me out.
Yeah. It's not there, though.
Well, something's there.
No. Well, they took a higher-res photo of it. It's nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's still there.
Yeah, I mean, with the right shadows.
Yeah.
It's not real.
It's there. Mars is there.
Yeah, Mars is there. No
I
question.
Made a paperweight in an art class that was the face on Mars one time.
Nice.
I did, yeah.
Make sure you link to the face on Mars.
Yeah.
Have you watched Cosmos with Carl Sagan?
Yes.
I haven't finished it. I've watched maybe half of the episodes.
I don't know that I ever finished it either, but I've seen a lot of it.
It's even, so I watched it like maybe a couple of years ago, started watching it, and I was like, this is great. And it's old. Like,
yeah, it's
who
like
knows
from
how
late
many things are
70s,
wrong now?
Early 80s, yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Who knows how much of it is wrong at this point? You
right.
know?
All of it.
But it was so good. And like Carl Sagan had this amazing knack for storytelling, mm-hmm. you know, and marrying the concepts of space in astronomy with storytelling that really to me propelled my interest, you know, even further. Even at that, I mean, I was, like I said, this is only a few years ago and I'm suddenly even more interested in space. And I think Neil deGrasse Tyson and Carl Sagan's wife, I feel really bad because I don't know her name. I know her as Carl Sagan's wife, which is sad for me. But anyway, she and he are developing a new Cosmos series.
Oh, cool.
I think he may be hosting it this time, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Nice.
Who's another great proponent for space.
Yeah.
Really fun to listen to him talk about various space-related topics. And, yeah, he's my favorite space person these days.
I don't know if I have a favorite space person.
What?
I like them all. I like all space
people. I like
people.
Them all, too.
I like all space people.
But I got a favorite.
The thing I love about those things, above like Carl Sagan or Neil deGrasse Tyson, the way that they speak about space.
Of stars. We are made of star stuff. That's what he says.
He does, yeah.
And we are.
Pale blue dot.
That's the amazing thing.
We are, yes.
We are made of the same stuff as stars.
But we all came from the same place, right?
Yeah. So
the Big Bang goes, poosh, and dust turns into stars, and it turns into people. Right.
I recently read a quote. It's a great quote. That if you leave hydrogen alone long enough, it'll start to think about itself and wonder where it's going. That's us. Us. Humans. It's true. How cool is that?
That's pretty great.
The coolest thing Carl Sagan ever said, not ever, but that one of the things that sort of like opened my mind to like the insanity of life. Mm-hmm. You know, he talked about how, as we were just saying, at its core elements, you know, the universe is everything's made up of the same stuff, right?
Right.
And you know, he's talking about how the universe itself, the universe is like an entity, you know, in and of itself, and the universe is trying to learn about itself. Mm-hmm. And so over time, eventually humans, you know, came to be and can now study the universe. And so humans are a way for the universe to learn about itself.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that insane? If you're not sitting there like freaking out about that notion, I don't know.
You should probably go back and listen to this podcast again.
Oh man, watch Cosmos.
Yeah.
I think that's where he talked about it. But his voice is also just sort of great to listen to.
We should get him on the show.
Poetic. He's dead. He died.
Maybe for addendums.
Yeah. Is that it? Are we done with space for now?
Maybe for now.
Oh, man.
We'll revisit it.
I feel like we barely talked about space. We
barely scratched the cosmic surface.
In all seriousness, there's so much more out there and some people who know way more than you and I do, mm-hmm. right, about space. And if anything we talked about was interesting to you, I encourage you to seek it out from people who know what they're talking about.
Go get spacey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Initiate launch sequence.
Ooh, I like it.
Oh, wait, we got to get... What a re-entry. We've been in space this whole time.
Oh, yeah, we got to land.
We got to initiate re-entry sequence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win, and the others too.